on the Chill Factor today with Ann Canfield, our sponsor right here. She's got the 5-part series going on. As always, Ann, welcome in.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for having me. I am just so excited. This is one of my favorite topics, is this podcast series on mastering difficult conversations. And you might ask, why is it your favorite topic? And I will tell you the reason why is because I get very excited and I'm incredibly passionate when we are looking to be more of a human being first than a human doing. That really, really charges me up, because the goal is for us to be kind and loving people to each other, because we work together, we hang out together, we have friends and family. And when we show up as a human being and we recognize that everybody has feelings and we recognize the intention, just that one thing of recognizing our intention and understanding something from another person's point of view changes conversations. So I'm going to start by just recapping kind of where we've already been before we jump into where we are today. So our first part of this series was preparing for the conversation. What does that look like? Recognizing what our intention is, recognizing that there might be an investment after this conversation. One conversation didn't get us to where we are. One conversation isn't going to get us out. So that was part one. Part two was seek first to understand. A really, really important thing to do, because it's the skill of asking questions to allow the other person to open up. You see, as a human being, when we are a human being first, we are looking to always give anybody that comes to us or that we're in conversation with, we want to give them a safe space. We want to let other people know that we're here to help you. We're here to be a resource for you. The intention is to care about someone else. I know sometimes that sounds like a really tall order, and it can be if our intentions are about us only and we're constantly looking for validation from other people. However, if we feel confident and we are resilient and we are strong enough to recognize that we can kind of self-validate and we're sure of who we are, we get to show up for other people in order to seek first to understand, understanding where they're coming from. And then our third part was make the objective clear. And the reason why that's important is because when we seek first to understand, it might sound like, yeah, but I'm not going to get what I want out of this. And so part three was all about, you are going to be able to say, and you're going to be honest about it. There's one method that they talk about, like the sandwich method. And I had a client the other day tell me how sometimes they go into a conversation, somebody has to bring something bad up. And the minute the person starts the conversation with, yeah, you know, I want to just let you know what a great job you're doing. The minute the person starts with that, they know there's a but and something bad is coming. So part three is all about, we want to be honest with the person. Hey, I've listened to you. I hear about your frustration. I hear what's going on. But I need to let you know, here's the objective I have. Here's what we're looking to change. And we want to be clear and open about that. And number four was creating a lasting solution. And that's really important, because we want to be sure that we can partner with the other person to look for that solution, noting that we might not actually use the suggestions we come up with, but it's more of the idea that we want to be sure that they know that they're valued. Because whatever we're talking about, they have a hand and a stake in that game and in that situation. So in this series, I have a friend with me. Her name is Mary. Everybody say hi, Mary.
Hello again, Mary. You are very popular.
So Mary works at a hair clip factory, and we have used Mary to kind of go through each of these parts of this series, because Mary works at this hair clip factory, and the challenge that we have is that she has a harsh tone because she likes to point out errors on the parts for her coworkers. So coworkers will come in and she'll like, "Bob, I got to talk to you. I found some mistakes you made yesterday." And we don't want that behavior anymore. It's how she does that. It's not a good situation. And the challenge is that we didn't really want to talk to her about the first time it happened. We didn't want to talk to her about the second time it happened. It's been about a few weeks, because sometimes we have some angst and we're not feeling very confident because we don't want her to get mad. We don't want her to quit. She's a great employee. She's been there for about 5 or 6 years. And we're learning through this series of how do we have this conversation with Mary to make it a win-win situation. So the behavior is she has a harsh tone. What we've recognized during this conversation is that what comes before that behavior is that she's finding the errors. And it has occurred to us in the middle of this conversation, maybe I have identified a different problem. Maybe the problem isn't the harsh tone and how frustrated she's getting. Maybe we can alleviate and minimize those errors. Or maybe we could even find a different way for her to report those errors versus the way she's doing it. And then the third thing to recognize is the consequence, because whatever has maintained the behavior that's there, something's going to have to maintain the new behavior that you're asking of her. And we have to put that into recognition. So I will tell you that this concept of A, B, C is actually stands for antecedent, what comes before a behavior. B is the behavior itself, and C is for consequence. So we're looking to create a lasting solution. And now we are on part number 5, is building trust with follow-up. Building trust with follow-up. Every workshop I give is about taking in the good and building relationship with every conversation by building that confidence in our communication and our connection with others. So it's a really good point, because we've talked to Mary and we've come up with a couple of strategies for her. And in talking to her, we've recognized that maybe the training can be a little bit better, that maybe she could actually work with quality on some of the instructions to make them clearer and get some clarity, and maybe even putting some pictures on the instructions in order for the staff to recognize what a good part is and what a bad part is. As a matter of fact, during this 30-minute conversation with Mary, our issue that we went in with is completely different now. And Mary is feeling really good about this conversation. And we are feeling really good about the conversation, because we feel like we can do some good in this situation, creating a lasting solution. So how do we build trust with follow-up? We build trust with follow-up by recognizing how this new behavior is going to be maintained. We've made our objective really clear, and we've told Mary, "I hear the frustration. I understand now, and I appreciate all of your input of really what the issues are, of what's going on with these errors you're finding, and how you're getting so upset. However, I have an objective as well, and we need to find a different way to handle this." So we're going to consider of the new behavior, what is required from us of whatever it's going to be, now that we've kind of recognized there's a bigger picture here. What's required of Mary? Because at the end of the day, we want to be able to tell Mary, "Now, Mary, I understand that there's some issues here, but what I need is I need your help. I need you to change your tone, maybe report them differently starting today until we can come up with a long-term solution." And that way, you're going to build some trust with Mary, and Mary being able to say, "Yeah, you know what, I can do that. I can meet you halfway. And by building that trust with her, we're not just making this conversation and giving her a safe space to come and recognizing that we are a resource for her, but we also are helping the company solve a problem, probably a few problems, higher morale, and also better quality product going out the door. So the other way we're going to build trust is we might even consider to make something called a SMART goal. Most people have heard of this before, so I'm going to kind of go over it, recognizing that we want to be clear of what we're committing to. And it might be the fact of saying, you know, Mary, I appreciate the time. Let me get back to you in a week. If you say that to her, be sure you get back to her, because that's really important, that if you've given somebody a safe space, you've proven that you're a resource for them, you've actively listened, you want to be sure that you're going to build that credibility with that next conversation. Because again, going back to the point of the series, is what makes the conversation difficult? And in some cases, it's because we ignore a problem. We ignore a conversation that we know we need to have. So we want to be able to build that trust. What is a SMART goal? A SMART goal is something that's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. In Mary's case, she's my example for this series, I will kind of give you an example of what that looks like. So we might let Mary know. So Mary, it sounds like we've identified a couple of issues that we want to work on. And maybe it would make sense for us to take a look at meeting next Wednesday at 3:00. And what we're going to talk about is, I want you to bring to me the types of errors you find, when you're finding them, and then let me know how many you're finding. And being able to make that specific, measurable, attainable, time-based goal. And that way, we're actually building trust with Mary. Because here's the thing that's interesting about conversations, is that the conversation that you have with one person, it has a ripple effect of your credibility and the rapport that you build with another 15 people. It's going to go outside that room. And as Theodore Roosevelt says, it doesn't matter how much you know. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we want to leave Mary with this impression that we've given you a safe space, we have been a resource, and we're here to help you. And we appreciate that you're going to help us to solve this problem. And I'm going to have a follow-up with you so that we can have a lasting solution. Mary's going to walk back out on that floor, and everybody knew that she had a meeting with us today. And somebody's probably going to ask her about that meeting. And it's really important that we recognize that those other 10 people that she's going to talk about this meeting that we had, what is that dialogue going to look like? And we care about that. We care about that because if we are being a human being first and a human doing second, we want people to know that our intention is to care about them first and not just care about the work and the end product and the volume. Because at the end of the day, no one is going to remember how many widgets you made, how many quality issues were found, that it will never be mentioned at the end of the day. What's going to be mentioned at the end of the day is how somebody made you feel. And just with Mary, just like every one of us, every conversation we have, it's going to ripple effect out. And you never know what you're going to say today is going to come back to you down the road. And I'll end with this quick story. Many years ago, I had a boss, and I had been pulled into a conversation. He was looking to move me from one department to another, and I wasn't too sure if I wanted it. And then I thought I was going to move to San Francisco, because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to move. And I will never forget him looking across the table to me and saying, you know, you don't have to take this new position, but I want to let you know that if you're moving for something different than just this job, that you are going to be leaving with whatever that situation is, and it can still be dealt with right here. And I'll never forget that moment, because he cared about me. He cared about what my life was and what was going on. And he really did seek first to understand, and he saw some emotion that had nothing to do with me taking the job. It just had to do with where I was in my life. And that matters. And that's really what this is all about, is how do we recognize that we are human beings and to be there for one another to make the world a better place. So hopefully this series has brought some of that to light for you. And again, helping you to feel that your intention is to be kind and to care about one another. And it won't make it so difficult the next time around. So thank you so much. As we conclude this series, I appreciate everyone tuning in.
Well, thank you, Anne. As always, continue bringing us a wonderful information from around the globe, actually. Yes, you can catch Anne and her series, 5 Parts to It, definitely on The Chill Factor, on iHeartRadio, and 13 other platforms. Anne, as always, keep bringing it on, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day again. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Are you ready to master those conversation skills? Well, join me online for an interactive workshop with your camera and your microphone on. You will learn proven strategies and practice using your experiences to role play in a safe space to customize these skills to your personality. The great news is you no longer will avoid difficult conversations. Rather, you're going to have increased confidence and build relationship and credibility with each conversation. For the upcoming online workshop dates, go to my Linktree on Instagram under Finding Strength with Anne. Hope to see you online.